This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3963 for Wednesday, the 11th of October, 2023. Today's show is entitled Storytelling Games. It is part of the series Tabletop Gaming. It is hosted by DNT and is about 19 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is three storytelling-based games and some thoughts on role-playing games.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. This is your host, DNT, and today I am talking about some storytelling games. So these are games that are either card games or dice games, I guess. Or they are in the same kind of world as role-playing games, I suppose, in a way, but they're a little different. So the games I'm referring to, I'm going to say the first one I'm going to mention is called Story Cubes, or also known as Rory's Story Cubes. So each game is a set of dice, which, by the way, is the plural of die when we're talking about those cubes those objects, which are most commonly known in the six-sided form. They are known as dice when we're talking about more than one. So the story cubes is a set of dice that have different sort of icons on each face of each die. Different icons, totally different icons for each die that comes in a set. There's a basic one that you can buy. It comes with 9 dice, and then there are different sets you can buy that are in different themes, so they'll have different types of icons. So let's say there's one that's called Actions, I think, that the icons are a little more focused on representing actions rather than things. And then, I don't know, maybe you have like a space one or a kind of a fantasy one. Maybe you have a Harry Potter one or whatever it is. Different themes, right? So that, you know, you end up buying all these different ones. So, and the idea of the game, it's not really a game. You just grab the dice and you throw them all at once, I guess. And then you can combine the icons that appear at the top you combine them into a story. So the ways I have played this, let's say, have been you just grab all 9, throw them, roll them, I guess, and then you tell a story using those icons somehow. Combine them into some kind of story that you make up on the spot. Then you hand it over to the next person. The next person does the same thing. So there's no winning condition or anything like that. It's just something you get together with other people and do. There are games that you can invent, of course. And there is one game, don't remember what it's called, but the company that made the Story Cubes released one actual game with a board and all that, that you can play using the Story Cubes somehow. I don't have that one, and I don't really know very much about it. If you do, I invite you to record an episode of Hacker Public Radio to share this with this community. So that Story Cubes is kind of interesting. It was the first storytelling game sort of thing that I heard about, and I've had it for a while. I've played it a handful of times only, which I think tends to be the case. So then I'll talk about two other games. One is called Dark Cults, and that's an old game that I obtained a copy of, a sort of remake that's not available for purchase. I have Klaatu to thank for that. And it's a card game. It only has cards, no board, no dice, nothing. And this one is kind of a horror, vaguely Lovecraftian, I guess, game. And you and your the people playing with you, you have cards in your hand, and then you play them. You draw new cards and stuff. And each card you play has a certain thing on it, like maybe a character or a place or some sort of event or something like that, that you must introduce into the story. So you tell a bit of the story, and then you stop. Then it's the next person's turn. The next person must play a card and continue telling the same story. Now, each card tells you what types of cards can follow it, right? Now, in this game, each player is either playing as death or as life, which just means that one is trying to get the character that we're following, the protagonist. One is trying to get that character killed. The other one's trying to get that character to survive the night. And then there are several cards that end the night, either with the card, with the character surviving or dying. And then if you are death, you get more points when the character dies. If you're life, you get more points when the character lives. And so you play a succession of nights like this. And then at the end, you tally your points and see who won. So this game was pretty interesting. We generate some interesting stories like that. I think we messed up the rules a little bit, and then we ended up making up some pretty nonsensical stories, which wasn't really a problem. It was still entertaining that way. But I think we probably did something wrong there. So, like with a lot of other games that I like, one of the interesting things about it was that you kind of do this thing collectively without really knowing what you're doing, by just following the rules. And then at the end, you can end up with this thing you created together. And you know, that can happen with games like, I think there are some railroad games that are pretty cool. I used to have one that was called 1856. It's a very complex game, but anyway, what I'm talking about here is that at the end of the game, you end up with this map of the region that's covered by the game, which in the case of 1856 was Canada, parts of Canada, and I think maybe the U.S. as well. And you end up with this collectively built railroad map, which, I don't know, I guess not everybody will find that intriguing, but I tend to kind of enjoy just sort of staring at this thing that all of a sudden we've got here in front of us that no one made very intentionally. It just kind of emerged through this device that we were going through, which was the game, you know, this thing that makes that happen. So continuing on this theme of these storytelling games that are kind of intriguing to me, I went and got this other one called Once Upon a Time. And, you know, it's strange. In some ways, that game, Once Upon a Time, fails to do this thing that I was just describing, where you end up with this collectively created story. It still does it, but just not quite as much as, for example, Dark Cult, probably. So in Once Upon a Time, everybody has cards as well, and I don't think there are requirements like about what cards can follow what cards, so you can just play whatever card you want. I'm pretty sure there are different types of cards, like events, places, characters, things like that. There's one that's very strange called Aspects, which is, I mean, there's got to be a better word than that for this. Anyway, I don't know. So, what's weird about Once Upon a Time is that in this game, so let's say it's my turn. I start playing my cards, right? And my cards, playing cards, I'm telling a story that I'm just coming up with out of my head. And the elements that are on the cards that I play have to appear in my story, but not everything that appears in my story has to have a corresponding card that I'm playing, right? And then the way my turn ends is there are two possibilities. One is if I use in my story an element that is reflected on a card that somebody else has. So let's say I'm telling my story and then all of a sudden there's a zombie in my story and then somebody else, another player, has the zombie card. They can throw the zombie card before I play another card after I mention the zombie. They play the zombie card and then they took over the storytelling, you know. There's another special type of card that's called an interrupt card that can be played to interrupt more, slightly more arbitrarily, but it doesn't matter. So, and then you go on like that, and the objective of the game, the winner, this part I think is really interesting, is each player has one ending card that they draw. And the ending card can be really, like, quite specific, the text. It's going to be something like, you know, and they lived happily ever after, something like that. But there are lots of really weird, quite specific ones. Like, I'd have to get the cards to tell you. But there are some pretty funny examples that just tickle your brain just by looking at the cards and trying to imagine, trying to fit a story into that. So then you see that each player is kind of long term, let's say. They're trying to steer the story so that they get to play their ending card. That's a really cool idea, I think. Also, you can only play the ending card when it is your last card, right? So you must get rid of all your other cards first. So other things that you can do in this game is, like, if somebody is lost or if they just froze or whatever, they can't continue the story. Or if the story is just not working out, if they're stalling, trying to think of it, then the other players can basically just yell the storyteller out of the role, right? They can just say, hey, this is not working out. And then if all the other players agree, then okay, it's not their turn anymore. Hand it over to the next person, to the person to their right or whatever. So, yeah, lots of interesting elements there, but I think it turns out that this game, like a lot of other storytelling games, it's something that makes people struggle with it is that it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of mental energy, you know. So you know, people tend to not want to put in that much energy. They want, I think people prefer games that it's like the game generates its own energy and then we feed off of that energy. And in a way, it's like this game requires putting in more energy. That's what it feels like to me. Like we played, you know, you play it once and you're exhausted at the end. You know, you just can't even consider playing another round because it just took so much out of you to even just go through this one. I guess it's like the, you know, the cognitive effort that it takes to do that. So yeah, these have been some of my experiences and observations with these storytelling games. I'm always really intrigued by games that incorporate storytelling somehow. And so I've had the Story Cubes for a while, and I like it quite a lot. And then recently I came across these two other games that were pretty interesting, and I thought there was enough to say about it that I could record an episode of Hacker Public Radio. So here it is. Now, I want to add a couple of things here at the end about role-playing games in general. So these games that we were talking about, They involve alternating who is telling the story, you know. And this is something that I kind of discovered about role-playing games much later as an adult, right? I liked role-playing games a lot when I was younger. And I can't really say that I played a lot of role-playing games, but I certainly had a lot of role-playing game books. And I certainly had many sessions of getting together with friends and spending hours and hours just building characters. And then, oh, we got to go home. We can't actually play the damn thing. So that happened a lot when I was growing up. So, but yeah, and then it's like, I know there are games that they have pre-built characters, but I think that sort of misses the point because people actually want to create characters, you know? So I think what games should do, and maybe some games do it, if you know that they do, then name them in the comment section or record your own episode of Hacker Public Radio to tell us all about it. They should, you know, we should build the character as we're playing. You know what I mean? You should start playing the story, if it's an adventure that somebody else wrote, whatever it is, start playing it. And then as needs arise, you build the characters. You know, why can't we just do that? Why do we need to prepare the characters ahead of time? You know, it can actually even be more fun because then you can invent some, you know, crazy things that you never would if you were just coming up with a character out of thin air. Let the character sort of emerge from the story. I think that's an interesting idea. And so, yeah, I learned that there's this one game that I think it was called Ars Magica. I'm not sure if that's the one or if it was another one. I don't know. But I know that there was some game that was around back in the 90s or whatever, that it had this alternating who the game master was, you know. And that was pretty cool, I think. That sounds pretty interesting. If you have experience doing that, playing that kind of a role-playing game where you alternate who the storyteller is, then please share what that's like, put in a comment, or record your own episode of Hacker Public Radio about that, because I would like to hear about what that's like. Because I think a lot of what I sort of missed out on back when I was, super into role-playing games and read a lot of role-playing games, game books, was I think I never understood the need to kind of be generous with your storytelling, the concept of the storytelling being actually a collective construction with the game master and the players. I always kind of saw being the game master as this hypodermic needle sort of thing, where you write the adventure and the players play it and the game master is just running the show. You know, that's how I always saw it. And I love the idea of being a game master and writing my own adventures, of course. But I've never had successful experiences doing that. I think probably because I couldn't incorporate that, the player's own creativity, right? How about that? So, you know, that goes hand in hand with all lots of things about free culture that I think about very often nowadays. The need to make free culture that's more participatory and, things like this here where you are very much invited to take the microphone and record the next episode of this thing. So these are some of the things I wanted to share today. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you're intrigued by anything I said here, or if I was wrong about anything, please put a comment in or record your own episode of Hacker Public Radio and post it. I would love to hear from you. All right, come back tomorrow for another one. Thank you.
You have
have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.